KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 16 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny today and a high of 41. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department reports 7 arrests over the past week. A little after 2 a.m. Sunday, 28-year-old Ashton Olson of Creston was arrested for public intoxication. He was released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. And 40-year-old Joseph Bartlett of Council Bluffs was arrested Sunday afternoon for driving while barred. He was released from the Union County Jail on a promise to appear in court. And on Saturday, 27-year-old Garrett Woodhull and 50-year-old Johnny Agans, both of Creston, were arrested at their residences on charges of domestic abuse assault, simple misdemeanor. Both were released from the Union County Jail on $300 bond each. Creston police say 39-year-old Brad Lemon of Creston was arrested Friday at the law enforcement center on a Union County warrant for violation of a protection order. He was released later on a $300 bond. Last Thursday, 20-year-old Bradford Boyer of Creston was arrested for 2 counts each of burglary in the second degree and criminal mischief in the fifth, along with attempted burglary in the second degree, criminal mischief in the second, and public intoxication. He was released from the Union County Jail on a $30,900 bond. And on November 27th, 27-year-old Shonda Kyle of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of possession of a controlled substance, second offense. Kyle was later released on the original bond until forfeiture hearing. In some other news, the Creston police say a resident of the 500 block of North Maple Street reported November 25th that sometime around 6:30 that a.m. that day, someone entered her vehicle and that was parked at her residence and took cash, 4 6-packs of pop, and documents pertaining to the vehicle. The loss was estimated at $80. A man residing in the 600 block of North Pine also reported on the 28th that sometime between 2 a.m. and 10 a.m. on that date, someone broke into the garage at his residence, entered a vehicle that was parked in the garage, and took a black and brown and gold-trimmed Taurus 9mm handgun, a black and gray SCCY CPX2 9mm handgun, 5 knives, and a chainsaw. The loss was estimated at $1,650. The Iowa Department of Corrections reports this morning that a correctional officer was assaulted by an inmate at the Fort Dodge Correctional Facility at around 10:15 p.m. Sunday. The officer was responding to a cell where inmates had started a fire. When the officer opened the door to the cell, an inmate began striking the officer with closed fists and kicks. When the inmate attempted to attack another officer, pepper spray was used to subdue the aggressive inmate. Staff immediately used a fire extinguisher to put out the fire in the cell. There were no damages or injuries reported. An officer that was assaulted was evaluated and treated by institution medical staff for their injuries. The inmate appeared to not have suffered any injuries, and the incident remains under investigation. After 11 years of temporary lanes and closed exit ramps, work is finally nearly complete on an Interstate 29 expansion project through Sioux City. The Iowa Department of Transportation hopes to finish work on the project by Christmas. Final construction includes pouring concrete bridge approaches, installing guardrails, and painting pavement. It was in 2008 when crews began the $400 million to widen the project, the freeway, to 3 lanes in each direction from Sergeant Bluff through Sioux City and to the South Dakota border. Although major construction will be over, workers will still need to make unexpected repairs to a bridge that was damaged by fire this fall. State Transportation Planner Dakin Schultz acknowledged that there are times when it seemed the project would never end. Well, the federal government is launching a campaign to hire thousands of people across Iowa and the nation to help with the 2020 census. The Bureau's Sam Fettig urges anyone who's interested in applying to do so right away.
There may only be a certain number of jobs in any given area. So once those jobs in a certain area are filled, they're filled. So if someone's interested, the sooner the better to get that application in.
Fettig says workers go door to door to follow up. When someone doesn't respond to census questions online, by phone, or in the paper form.
Hoping to hire really locally so that when someone comes knocking at your door, it's someone you know and it's someone who knows your community.
And he says that work hours are flexible and the pay starts at $14 an hour and is in some cases $16 or even $20 an hour.
For someone even who might have a 9-to-5 job already, it's a good way to get involved, help your community, ensure that you have the federal resources and political representation for the next 10 years.
Fedig says the application review and hiring process will begin in January.
It's important that we hire workers who have connections in the community, who already have pre-existing relationships and trust. So to help bridge those gaps in understanding or to help address concerns, it really helps if we can hire from local communities.
You can apply online at 2020census.gov/jobs. The open enrollment period for Medicare is rapidly coming to an end. The final date to sign up or make changes to your plan is this Saturday, December 7th. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services handles the questions on the open enrollment, and spokesperson Julie Brookhart says it's important for users to be sure that they are on the Medicare.gov website.
There are other websites out there that folks think it's the federal website. They might be .com. They're not. So the official website is Medicare.gov. Then you would click on the Plan Finder tool link.
And she says you've likely seen promotional materials from various plan providers and mailings and tons of TV ads.
Those probably are legitimate marketing pieces from all the health plans that contract with Medicare. But we tell Medicare beneficiaries that they can't call you up. They can't come door to door. They can't solicit, really.
And Brookhart says that you should be aware that there are some scams out there as well.
If you get any callers calling you, asking you for like your Medicare number, or you know, if you sign up with my plan, you'll get a gift. If it all sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Medicare is never going to call you and ask you for that type of information.
She said you should be a little skeptical.
Just be on guard. If it doesn't sound right, it probably isn't.
Brookhart says that you should call them at 800-633-4227 to report any possible Medicare fraud. You can also call that number if you need help with your plan. There are some 625,000 Iowans who use Medicare. Well, the city council in the small eastern Iowa city of Piasta has set a special election to choose the community's mayor. The council last week set the election for January 14th. The council initially opted to appoint a new mayor, but changed course after 130 residents signed a petition demanding an election. Former Mayor Larry Mesher quit in an email he sent October 13th to council members following a contentious meeting. 2 days later, he asked the council to rescind his resignation, but the members declined. Piasta is a city of about 1,400, located just southwest of Dubuque. Elsewhere in state news from over the weekend, the Iowa State Patrol says one person died and three others were injured in a weekend rollover crash near Des Moines. The State Patrol says the accident happened around 1:30 a.m. Saturday on an eastbound ramp connecting I-235 to Interstate 80 in Polk County. The driver of a Chevy Silverado lost control of the truck on the on-ramp before it went into a ditch and rolled onto its roof. State Patrol spokesman Sergeant Alex Dinkla said 20-year-old Taylor Dean Babcock died at the scene. He was a passenger in the vehicle. The driver and two other passengers were hurt in the crash. One person had serious injuries, while the other two suffered minor injuries. That is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.